It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Tomorrow, the makers of a new feature-length documentary called American-Made Movie will be stopping in Pittsburgh as part of a 32-city, 32-day bus tour. The film explores the decline in America's manufacturing workforce. Here's a clip.
You know, the business environment in the last 20 years has gotten more and more competitive, and it's ended up with a lot of offshoring of anything that's made. And I think what the country's realizing now is that making things is important. The reason making things is important is it employs a lot of people, it gives you expertise that other markets want, and it teaches you to innovate. When you're trying to manage production in a very expensive market, in a complicated market, in a demanding market, you learn to innovate. And one of my big fears, if we become a country that doesn't make things, what will we do? We'll be somebody else's customer. So we understand why businesses offshore their production. We also fundamentally believe that knowing how to make things and making them here is critically important to the long-term health of this country.
That's a clip from the new documentary, feature-length documentary, American-Made Movie, which is debuting in August. I'm joined now by phone by the co-directors of American-Made Movie, Vincent Vittorio. Vincent, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you so much.
And Nathaniel Thomas McGill. Nathan, welcome to
Great
Essential
to
Pittsburgh.
Here.
Good to have you. And if you have a comment or question for our guests, you can join the conversation by calling 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Gentlemen, films about the decline of American manufacturing and its impact on communities are now pretty familiar. What was the angle that you guys came up with to make this more of a fresh look at the problem? And Vincent, why don't you go first so we can keep you guys straight?
Definitely. Well, it's about understanding that, you know, in this day and age, we want to use that doom and gloom or that, you know, this is everything that's wrong and we're going to not really tell you how to fix it. And we kind of took a different approach. We took that approach of understanding that we all have a relationship to this topic, whether we realize it or not, and that at the end of the day, there is a solution. And whether you're a single mom or whether you're a small business owner or a CEO of a company, that we all have the ability with our demand, with our purchasing power, to change our local communities as well as the national economy.
And Nathan, the same question as you went around the country, as you went to these different manufacturers, what were you thinking about in terms of how to present this story in a fresh way?
Well, you know, when we first started this, my family actually came out of manufacturing. So it's always been like in the back of my mind as a possible topic just because it's related to us. I'll do a comparison with the food movement. While we were working on other projects and everything, we started to see this movement in farmers markets, people seeking out produce based on it being local. And then you had this organic movement that kind of happened and sprung up, and everybody's looking for this organic label. And then all of a sudden, there was entire sections of grocery stores that were devoted to this this kind of produce, these kinds of goods. And so it was one of the things where we looked back and said, okay, well, whatever happened to that Made in the USA label? Is it there? Have we thought about that as a culture and as a people? And we were pleasantly surprised that, oh, well, there is a lot of stuff that's actually still made here. It didn't just all disappear or go away. The products are still there on the shelves, and there's real people making these goods in real communities. And so we, you know, went out and tried to capture these stories of what it's like for these businesses to compete in a global economy.
So then the question becomes, how do you persuade people to buy, say, for example, a $35 U.S.-made slow cooker when a $25 import is available?
Well, I think there's two perspectives there. You've got, obviously, if it's made in your local community, if people are more aware of what's in their backyard. Take, for instance, the example Nathan brought up about, you know, the food movement. I live in California, and avocados, they're obviously, I can go to the store and pick one up that's from Guatemala or Costa Rica, but the fact that I wouldn't try to buy one from my home state first would be kind of, you know, a problem. I should be looking at that. And the same thing's true even with the slow cooker, realizing that maybe this is something that, you know, parts come from it specific in the Pittsburgh area or neighboring cities. And I think realizing that it not only has an effect on your local economy and the people around you, but it employs people that eat at your favorite restaurants or that are a part of things, and now you have this relationship with understanding the people behind the products you're purchasing.
So, Vincent, how did you find the companies that you chose to profile in the documentary?
It was a long research of just getting to know kind of which companies had what stories and really what fit us trying to kind of bring this topic to the general audience. And so we had a lot of companies we got to spend time with and get to know, but we couldn't feature them in the film. And I think the ones we picked best represented the effect on the local economy in a certain area, or had a good story to tell of maybe like New Balance, for instance, one of the companies that we feature. They don't make everything in America, but at the same time, they see the importance of making something here and keeping these factories open, which are in the New England area. So we went through and really tried to kind of craft a story that we felt was best to bring the topic to the audience that wasn't necessarily had a political slant to it or something that was more just giving them the raw material to be able to understand who's making these items and what the companies mean.
And Nathan, one of the things that was interesting about this film is that you looked at some companies that might be owned by foreign owners, but they have plants in the United States that employ people here, which, if you support those companies, helps keep those people employed.
Right. Yeah, I think that's the day that we're living in. You know, it's not as simple as it used to be when my parents were in manufacturing. It was like breaking the 11th commandment if you drove in the yard with a foreign car. So today it's very different. And if you look at my home state of Georgia, where there is no General Motors anymore, there is no Ford, there's only a Kia, a Korean manufacturer, and they're the only people making cars in Georgia. And so those automakers are working for that company, and they are thriving in a community that has just been completely changed by the presence of manufacturing.
There was a time where it was said that you didn't want to drive through Detroit driving a Honda Accord, for example. But will this film, do you think, maybe readjust people's thinking about that you can still support the American economy by driving one of those cars?
I really hope so. You know, I really hope that people can kind of do a little research, roll up the sleeves. That's always the hard ask of viewers and of Americans. You know, we want the sound bite sometimes, but maybe don't want the full meat. So, you know, but we do. We have to roll up our sleeves. We have to go to our Chamber of Commerce websites. We have to look at what the companies are, and we have to find out who's doing the employing in our areas. That could be as simple as just paying attention when you're driving through your neighborhood, or it can be, yeah, let's do a little research. Let's find out who the people are here, because you're right. It is the Toyotas, the Hondas. It's all of us. We live in a global economy, and that's what we tried to paint in the picture of the film, to say that, you know, the world has changed around us. But that doesn't mean that made in America is an old-fashioned idea. There's people making tons of things in this country, employing a lot of people, and the items are competitively priced and right there on the shelves next to the other goods. All it takes is just a little bit of paying attention to get the job done.
We're talking with the co-directors of the feature-length documentary, brand new film called American Made Movie, Vincent Vittorio and Nathaniel Thomas McGill. They are with us as they have embarked on a 32-day, 32-city tour, which lands them in Pittsburgh tomorrow to talk about their movie, which looks at the decline in America's manufacturing workforce and how that problem can be solved. Since making this film, the city of Detroit has declared bankruptcy, gentlemen. How do you see that development impacting the story that you tell here?
Well, you know, I think that it was very interesting because on the day that Detroit filed bankruptcy was the day that we pulled into Detroit. And so it was a very interesting time. It was a historic moment where we've gone back to show the film, and then we all get this news. But, you know, as our guest, Chris Michalakis, of the AFL-CIO, who was also in the film and was our guest panelist for that day, suggested, you know, it doesn't mean it's the end of Detroit manufacturing. It just means it's kind of the end of an era in terms of what happened there. It was kind of our picture of what happens when a manufacturing base declines and you are left with empty factories, and there's a spillover effect. So when we don't pay attention to our manufacturing base, you have a good illustration of what can happen to certain communities. Now, everything that's happening with the bankruptcy might not be tied to that, but it certainly is a part of it. And so it was just an interesting thing just to be there on the day and to, you know, be with the people that this deeply affected and hear the stories of the people on the streets, which is kind of the whole purpose of this tour that we're on. 32 cities in 32 days, getting an understanding of what each community is doing in terms of economic development, manufacturing, and entrepreneurship, these issues that tie right to the center of our film.
And how have these factories, I don't want to give away too much of what you show in the movie, but how have these factories that you highlight in your film, how have they found ways to counteract or survive imported competition?
Well, I think the price point is something that we can't argue is they're competing with other items on the shelf that are made foreign in foreign countries, and they're still able to compete. So I don't think it's as drastic as what we're realizing because there's so many different elements that come into it. So I know one of the companies we featured, so I won't give something away, they make socks. And while they're employing Americans specifically in Wisconsin, there's elements of what they're doing that are coming from other countries because it only makes sense sometimes to get certain amounts of your wool or different parts of cotton that might not be from America. So with that being said, they're able to find a way to make it work. And I think that also as the days are changing, where it's a benefit to be closer to your, I guess, your end product to get it to the consumer. Whether you're producing a large amount of steel, it might make a lot more sense to be doing it a couple hundred miles from your distribution group as opposed to something like getting it for a quarter of the price from China, because ultimately we're looking at a time frame in which globalization's made things a little more competitive to where you have to deal with all these outside groups, but people see the importance of being closer to their end user. And I think that's one element. And then the other one is just really about understanding the effects on the community. The clip that you played was a great example of that. It makes sense to have some people employed in this country, even if it's a country that, you know, manufacturing is not going to be what it was after World War II. Learning how to cope with the changes of globalization is a way for us to be able to understand that these companies have to employ people and they have to have at least part of their home base in the country that started things.
People ask the question of whether manufacturing can make a comeback in the United States all the time. And you just said something very interesting. And people always compare it to the World War II level. And you're saying that that might be unrealistic to expect we could get back to that. So then what is the level? What is a level that we would be – that would work for us here in this country to be back at in terms of manufacturing things?
I think it's the balance. You know, we should not be export. We should be exporting just as much as we're importing. And I think the trade balance is a great thing to look at there. The same way as, you know, I'm teaching my 7-year-old as balancing a checkbook. If you're not bringing in enough money to counter what you're spending, then you've got a problem. And I think that it's very, very simple equation to look at. And so I think that we need to look at exporting more and finding a way to have companies, I guess, be accountable for what they're doing in order to make sure that we are exporting more products as opposed to importing.
Gentlemen, what is your goal in making this documentary? What do you hope people get from it and what ultimately maybe changes in terms of our mindset and our thinking about manufacturing in the United States?
I think it's the way that we approach our consumption. It's when we go into the store and we're looking at the things on that shelf that we have an understanding beyond price, maybe even beyond, not beyond quality, but just in terms of where something is made. It's something that we've seen, like we've mentioned in the organic food movement. People care about a certain element to the production of those, you know, that produce. And so I think that the same thing can be true for all the products that are in our day-to-day lives. And at the consumer level, and even at the business-to-business level, you know, some thought needs to go into who is in my local economy, my state economy, and my national economy. Because something as simple as the choice between Duracell batteries or Energizer batteries, a choice that we all probably make every 3 months, you know, can be determined by who's employing who inside of my community. And so, just like I stated before, my home state of Georgia has a Duracell plant. So I might just think about that in terms of who's keeping my favorite coffee shop open and who's keeping my favorite restaurant open. If we all can get behind this and do just a little bit, just a little, just make one or two of these choices a month, then we can make a real big difference for those companies that are employing people here in America.
We've been talking with the co-directors of the feature-length documentary, new documentary out next month. It's called American Made Movie, and the co-directors are Vincent Vittorio and Nathaniel Thomas McGill, speaking to us from one of the cities on their 32-day, 32-city tour. They're in Pittsburgh tomorrow. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you so much for having us. We hope to see you tomorrow.
Coming up, can soccer make it on the professional level in Pittsburgh? We'll ask our sports guy, Bob Dvorak. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.